Welcome to Choosing Leadership, a podcast for high performers with big dreams and for leaders who know that they are more powerful than the level that they are currently playing. I am Sumit Gupta, your host and the founder CEO of the Deploy Yourself School of Leadership. I am here to help the best leaders get better and to help organizations massively improve their output and impact, and at the same time eradicating workplace stress. Yes. Completely eradicating, not just reducing, completely eradicating. I believe in creating a future and a work culture where people wait for Mondays, not Fridays, and get to do their most meaningful work. The aim of this podcast is not to provide you more content, but instead shift the context under which you operate. This podcast is titled Choosing Leadership because that is what leadership is, a choice. In each episode, I will celebrate leaders who have made such choices, which are not always easy and comfortable, but which has helped them get to where they are today. And let us celebrate the leader in us for choosing to move over our fears, for choosing to be motivated by something bigger than ourselves, and for choosing to deal with every challenge that comes on the way. Let us celebrate you right now for stepping into the unknown and taking courageous action, as those were the moments when you chose leadership. At the end, I will share how you can be our next guest on this podcast. And with that, let's get started. Siddharth is the founder and CEO at Tailwebs Technology. In the interview, Siddharth emphasizes the importance of saying no to low-value projects and highlights the critical lessons learned in defining the company's unique selling proposition. As he delves into the challenges faced during various phases of product scaling, he reveals the pivotal role of quick decision-making in overcoming those obstacles. His commitment to self-learning and staying at the forefront of technology showcases the mindset needed to navigate the dynamic landscape that we found today in entrepreneurship. Hi, Siddharth. Welcome to the Choosing Leadership podcast.
Hi, Sumit. How are you?
It's a pleasure to have you here. It's a wonderful day here in Amsterdam. Tell me and tell our listeners a bit about yourself, who you are and what is it that you do today?
Perfect. So I'm a CEO, founder of Tailwebs. We are a tech agency. We ideally tend to be tech partners to all the companies. So we've been running this for good 8 years now. And We have been in our journey, we have been looking into operations, scaling, and we are at a stage where we are now happy to scale our company. So that's where we stand in our journey. That's a little bit about me. A little more background. Yeah. This is my second startup. My first startup was Evocal. That was into providing training to college and running it as a parallel program. I have about 4 years experience in the corporate market. I was with Akamai for three and a half years. And after that, I started my first startup for starting Tailwebs, which is now an 8-year-old journey.
Wonderful. So can you share a bit more into your backstory? What is it that has always, or like, where did the love for starting up or entrepreneurship start? What were some of those key events in your life?
So I think one was something more genetic or always there in me. Being a Marwadi, if the Indian community would understand more. So we come from a business family. So we have always seen all our brothers and family members starting new businesses. So one part of it was that. But I think one of the major triggering factors of starting this was also that while I was doing my job in Akamai, I realized that if I'm doing my job, I get to learn very little about the overall picture of any business. And me always being interested on the business side more of companies, like how I can take company from point A to point B. That love for knowing and doing that is something which made me start Tailwebs. And that is when I started realizing that if I am just part of solving a small tech problem or something which I'm good at, whatever vertical I was in, would not help me ever achieve the journey that I am talking about. So that was the triggering point. It was a very random decision. I think it happens with most of the founders that one fine night they decide that let's stop the current thing and let's just jump into the river and see how to take it from there. That is how Tailwebs was started.
Yeah, yeah. And can you share a bit more about Tailwebs and the idea and why that was the thing for you?
So we started actually, Tailwebs have pivoted a little bit from the journey. There was a small journey right before that. It was through a product called Therapy. That was to bring group therapy online. So that is where two friends, like you look at all the stories, they started to build a product. And we entered the market while building a product, got selected for a couple of accelerator programs. And that is where the journey started. While doing this, there was an important realization actually. That especially in India, when we are talking about providing tech services as being building an end-to-end product and scaling it, there are very few companies who take it seriously. They take it as a one-time project and try to deliver that. Because we, to be able to sustain Therapy, we were working as freelancers, as consultants, as delivery partners to companies. And we realized this is one big problem in the Indian market and also in the international market. There are some good companies, but the rates either will be very high. ThoughtWorks is one good company. There's a couple of other names which come to my mind. Or they would, if there are very small companies, who would be really working hard as of now, but the chances of you finding them and being able to give them a project is very limited. So that is where the journey of starting Tailwebs happened, where we decided that there's a big market gap. And we, with our expertise, can definitely sort this market gap and bring some good ideas to the market for our customers. And that is where the journey of Tailwebs started. I think we were lucky enough to always be associated to one or the other big products in the market, help them come to the market and help them scale. And this journey continued from there, where we started seeing bigger and bigger goals for ourselves, and we started following those goals.
Mm. Yeah. Can you share a bit more on that journey? Because any entrepreneur's journey is not without ups and downs or some tough choices. So what were like one or two tough choices which either worked out or which didn't work out for you?
So definitely, I think across the journey, we hit different phases in our product scaling. And every phase comes with its own challenges and own difficult choices that we have to make. When we started, we need to understand that you are only 4 or 5 years experienced in the corporate domain itself. And the first biggest challenge for ourselves was to even define the USP of our own company. Because we did see a gap, but at that point of time, to be able to tell that we are experts in taking up business from point A to point B was not a reality, because we were more tech people than business people from the past. So that is where the journey started. That I think was the biggest challenge which we were trying to solve, that it was easier to say that we'll take a business from A to B, but we ourselves has to be experienced in that to be able to do it for our clients. And at the same time, if it's not an, so this is a completely self-invested company. So this is another very interesting fact about our company, that we decided that we don't really need big money to be put in, because right now we are defining the operations of the company. It was a completely self-invested company, and there will always, I think, for all startups be a problem of figuring out your operating finances. And there would be a lot of ideas like, let us do some small things, or let us start picking up some bulk work and let us try to run the operations. But it will always dilute the vision of your company if you start running behind that. So we decided to not do that and stick to our guns, and decided to only work on very good quality projects rather than every possible project which was coming our way. I think you will read about this from a lot of startups, that learning to say no was, I think, a very big factor which we picked up in the first few years, because we would initially pick up everything and our Tailwebs would not move forward as an agency, but we would just be trying to run behind small projects and make small thing happen.
Yeah.
So this was one big learning which happened, I think, in initial 3 to 4 years of the company. The second thing, I think, which we started to realize is that although our expertise might be execution, so like for me, I'm myself a very much a techie guy, and I could help client at a CTO level more. But our vision of our company was very different. And even if I was doing that, I was helping my client, but my own company was not growing. So that realization that your own company is also your client and is your primarily the most important client, you have to set up your own websites, you have to set up your own marketing funnel, you have to set up your own sales. It's parallelly the most important challenge that you have to solve to grow your own business, especially if you are in the service side. I think that was amongst the second most important learning for us, which is helping us right now. So these are the good bits, I believe, that took good decisions, realize things at the right moment and move forward. I think there are always also a lot of decisions which may not work for us. Could be a very good learning for anybody listening to us on this. Then there are a lot of critical decisions. A lot of time we feel very scared to be able to say a no, and we would just move ahead looking at the short term things. So I think a lot of times we actually failed and we got stuck with things for a very, as simple as couple of team members not working for the company, and we like, it is so much headache to find another set of people and replace them. And if you delay that decision for another 6 months or a year, I don't know, it would be very bad for your company overall. So be able to take quick decisions and stick to that decision, as I think we failed for a very long time initially, and took a lot of learning for us to be at a point where we actually started doing it better. We are still not perfect, but we have started doing it better now. So I would say that to any entrepreneur, that back yourself. So only if you believe in yourself and your decisions, you will be able to move forward. Otherwise, you will always be stuck in a very bad
way. Yeah, thank you. So, I think I appreciate and acknowledge that like part of self-investment, and because it takes a lot to be able to do that. And you must certainly have a very strong sense of belief and trust in yourself to invest not just with your time, but also with your money and capital. And 8 years, right, is a huge part of anybody's life. So first of all, I just want to acknowledge that. And second, right, can you share a bit more about the vision, right? So how will the world be different or better because of Tailwebs, and because of which you have invested so much of your life into what you're doing?
Thank you very much for that question, because this is something I try to put across to so many people that we work with. So it's a very important question for me. One is that what is our company about? So we never pitch that we are the best AI company, or a lot of these terms which are go-to-market terms these days, right? So we pitch ourselves that we are your tech consultant, right? And this is very important to, for anyone who's working as an entrepreneur, again, is to define what you really are. And when we were defining what Tailwebs really is, with let us, we are the best tech company, let us be the best AI company, let us be the best e-commerce company, we ended up defining ourselves that we are the best tech consultants for you. We are your best tech partners. If you understand that basically comprises of two things, that we will help you take best decisions in terms of technology for your whatever domain you are in. Number two, we will help you execute it such that you could get the best team members, the best outsource resources, because it's not possible for us to do every possible thing on earth for our agency, whoever is working with us. So that is how we look at it. We help our clients take the best decision when it comes to tech. We also help them build the best team. Either it could be our resources or their resources or the third party resources. But whatever tech decisions are going to happen with them should ideally gone through an agency who feels that the client is not just a client, but it is their own product or their own company. And the decisions should be as good as if you were working with an internal team. This is what we have brought to the market. Using this policy, I think we have done very well for ourselves and for our clients. I'll give you a quick example. WAC is one of our clients. It started as an idea with us, reached even within the top 50 apps in the UK App Store, and currently is doing very well and is looking at a Serie A funding very soon. So any client, I could very proudly say in the last 10 or 8 years, whoever has ever worked with us and in the long term have always grown from point A to point B better than what was the market expectation for it. So if you think about it, technology is one of the important domains in any business. And if implemented correctly, it would definitely be growing there. Part of that journey of yours, where we are saying that if we are part of this market and we grow as a company and we are able to help how many ever people who come to us, we are definitely going to, as a team, it is not just we working at, but you and us working together, would be able to make sure that your technological decisions have been as per the market standard of data. Mm-hmm. And that is how we are looking at making a difference in this world, because yes, there are a lot of new technologies which are coming in, but the first step to be able to execute it is that having a team you can rely on and be able to take good decisions for you.
Yeah.
And be able to build.
So let's assume we are talking in 3 years, right? And these 3 years have been the best 3 years for Tailwebs as well as for yourself. So let's say if you're talking in 2027, what would you be telling me about, like, where the company is, how the growth has been in the last 3 years?
So currently, the next 3 years, my major agenda is our growth itself in terms of our sales and marketing. I do want to be able to reach maximum amount of people in terms of their learning more about Tailwebs, and do be able to execute as many tech products in the market for a client during the same time. So that is where we stand today, that we want to scale our company to an extent where, at least in the top targeted countries, which is UK, US, Australia, and the Gulf sector, right, we have been able to open our offices and are increasing our sales in these countries, apart from India, where we already
are. Yeah. And with that outlook, what do you see are your, like, biggest roadblocks on the way? Or immediately, even in the short term, what do you see are the biggest pain points that are stopping you from that growth?
So there are two challenges which I look at in the next 3 years. One is more immediate, one is more long term. The more immediate challenge is that the moment you want to scale into another country, it's a different geography, it's a different tradition, and they generally would prefer a face in that particular country for them to believe in your brand a little more. So every time I talk about being able to go to UK and open our brand there, there's a lot of physical need from me myself being there, and also setting up a completely new tree with a different kind of tradition, because we'll be working with a lot of British people directly from there, and maybe even adding resources here. So that's the immediate challenge that we're looking at in opening our first international office currently. In the long run, I see a similar challenge across various countries, that although even once we are experienced with doing it with a couple of countries, when we are looking at doing another country, like, let's say Dubai, UAE, we again have a different set of legal problems and a different culture altogether to target. I think for me, this is one of the most exciting challenges also, to learn about various cultures, their challenges, and be able to fine tune our company to be able to best sell to them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is how I look.
Yeah. And as a CEO, as a founder, what are your own, like, personal challenges as a leader that you see in this growth phase?
I think switching roles. So over the years, I have been playing different roles and being able to decide when to switch to another role. I started myself as a developer, and largely I was also developing for my own company when we just started first year, couple of years. So starting from there, moving into fixing our operation so that our team can be grown and they have the right company culture imbibed into them, to currently looking into that sales marketing is a major funnel that we want to be sorting and focusing majorly into sales funnel. So I believe especially the leader in a company have to change their priority depending on the company's priority. You can obviously hire the right people in each role, but the time between you hire and the first couple of years where that person becomes more stable into your company, you personally have to be part of imbibing the right value. So I believe for most of the people, that is the biggest challenge. And I think it's the same thing for me, right?
Yeah, yeah. And what have you discovered that you are uniquely good at, right? What would you say are your strengths that allows you to do what you do?
So my preference always would be being a consultant for our customers. I love to work with new technologies, new businesses, figuring out the challenges in the business and to scale businesses from there. Currently, my client is my own company. So I'm figuring the challenges of my own company and scaling it. But I love to do it across various domains. And the love for that has made me start this particular company. I get to do this lesser and lesser for the companies that I work with. But I would love to come back to that particular role somewhere down the line and be helping various companies and agencies across there too. That's how I look at the journey, that I love to work with various challenges of market and get solutions to that.
Yeah. So challenges never stops, right? In an entrepreneurial journey. And it's, as a CEO and a founder also, everything boils up to you, right? So no matter what is happening, if you don't have the right people, everything comes up to you, right? So how do you handle that busyness or the stress and make sure that you like prioritize yourself also? Because I'm sure you have a life outside of Tailwebs as well. So how do you deal with that pressure?
So as correctly said, this was amongst our biggest challenges, I would say, maybe a couple of years back. And anything boiling down, any problem coming into the company would basically come to me, as you correctly said. And this was when we were just talking about me heading the operations and streamlining. So I'm a very strong believer of processes in the company. And for any company to grow, scale, reach a point where they are happy to scale, they have to firstly sort out their internal processes. I believe our company has done that well. And it took a lot of effort. Honestly speaking, and I think every entrepreneur somewhere faces this problem that there would be 2 to 5 years where there was no personal life left. And that is when we realized that we cannot continue doing what we are doing and we need to streamline our processes and move ahead from there. So that was definitely one of the biggest problems, which I can happily say is largely sorted, and not all problems would come to me right now. But processing is something that I would like to highlight here, that no company wants change, and whatever your initial team would be there, they would hate to wait for 6 hours and write you an email about the problem, which you align it on a calendar and you try to solve it later rather than instantly solving. But being able to move from people walking into the room to following the process, something like this, was one of my major learnings, and slowly setting up processes for all the verticals before, where only the P0s or the fires come to me instantly and nothing else. It's not fully done, but that is what led to me starting to having my personal life and being able to now manage my personal and professional life a little better now. Another thing by doing this also happens, and I think again it's a well-known fact about the 80-20 rule, is that you cannot take up all the challenge at once. So you have to define which are your biggest challenges and address them before going to your 80%. So that is, reading that will not help. Actually bringing it to play and actually executing is it is the only thing which can solve that challenge of yours.
Thank you for sharing that. I think those two things are very related, right? That 80-20 is only possible when you have processes, so that you can actually step back from something else, delegate it to somebody else. And otherwise, you can't just ask somebody to take care of a complicated thing. You simplify something by creating a process, so that now you can focus on something else and have more time for yourself. So you shared about having a personal life, right? So can you share a bit more, like what else do you care about? What else excites you? Like that's a part of your life right now.
So I think traveling is a common thing, and that's something that really excites me. As different challenges in my work is something that I'm really interested about. Similarly, people from different culture, understanding different culture. One thing which I love in my travel is that I try to travel like a local. I would go to the smallest of places, try to figure out a local friend or make a local friend and travel as a localite in any city or country. That is something which I find very unique, and which always pushes me to work harder so that I can do it more.
So that is, what does that give you?
So it gets you a very different insight to the culture. I'll give an example. I was in Geneva. And Geneva is never known for, let's say, partying, right? It's not known for its pub culture. It's where all the UN offices are. It's known for where people from all the different cultures come and sits and actually do very big meetings, right? And I was talking to a friend of mine there. Now, a friend was previously a random person in a lounge. And he was actually a bartender there. And for a Geneva localite, now the country is very different because for him, he has to cater to all the various cultures who are coming in and make it very friendly for all the different cultures. So thus, if you go to any cafe or restaurant in Geneva, you would find a very friendly environment, a very open environment where everyone is talking to each other. And it's not automatically created. You have to do a lot of small things for this to make it happen. More than looking at Geneva, this was very interesting for me that how a local's life made it very different for anyone visiting it as a tourist. Because for them, it is being able to talk to every different, all the various cultures in the world and be able to befriend them all. So they cannot have any pre-assumptions against any particular kind of culture, which is very common across the world, right? You go to various countries and you'll be there that wouldn't really find people that friendly, but it will never happen in Geneva because it is part of their culture. So knowing this, being able to understand this, being able to see this very closely was a very different experience than just going to Geneva as a tourist and looking at different buildings.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I think it's like it shows that you're a very curious person. And then like it's also about learning for you rather than just traveling and experiencing things. Yeah, so as a leader, learning is something which never stops. So can you share how else do you learn? How else have you invested in yourself as you grow as a leader? And you, as you also said, your role requires to be changing as the company grows. So how have you invested in your own growth?
Firstly, the self-learning is, I think, one of the most important aspects of being an entrepreneur, right? And anyone, before even deciding to be an entrepreneur or starting your own business, should be very well aware of this particular fact. A lot of people feel that their life will become easier if they own something. That is never the case, because whatever we know today will get obsolete in the next 2 to 3 years. That's how fast humans are moving, right? So if you don't keep yourself up to date, you cannot lead an agency or a company. So that's how I look at it. So this is something which can only be brought by a habit change in yourself. This cannot be that one fine day you decide and you do a lot of reading and by next week you stop it. It will, it can, you cannot achieve it. So you should be enjoying self-learning. A lot of startups, my friends, a lot of people in the industry come to me and talk about, so that I'm planning to start my entrepreneurial journey, can you help me some guiding factors or be my coach? And one of the most important which I stop them on is that, do you like to learn? And are you okay with things not being completely answered? Because once you start that journey, there will be so many things that you will not know an answer to when you start. And if that is the case, then only start something. So it is a habit change. For every problem that comes to you, you have to figure out solution by learning about that particular domain of mode. And for the domain you are in, you have to be at least amongst the top 5% in terms of knowledge. So you have to keep yourself updating on a regular basis. This is something which will happen only on weekends. It happens automatically across your day. And once we get into that exercise, we become better at it. For me, I keep a lot of newsletters that I am already subscribed to keep me up to date. I keep on reading about the new domains that are coming in. This is apart from the work which is needed for my company, Tailwhips, where, for example, I'm doing sales and marketing. I have spent almost like last 3 to 6 months to just learn sales and marketing better. So where I started 6 months better back, I'm at least 10 steps ahead from that, and I'm able to do that company.
Yeah.
It's a long way to go, and it will never stop because I can always make better and better from my company. There's nothing stopping me. Another thing which from my domain becomes very important, may not be important for everyone, be up to date about the technologies which are there in the market. It's very important. Example, WhatsApp has been largely changing with the latest features that they are providing. and as an you running an agency and not knowing about the various, it could be a very small tool. We all use WhatsApp in our daily life, but and if we are not using it correctly, we are two steps behind in some details.
Yeah.
May not be directly related to the business that we are doing, but aware of the generic technology across the world is something that we should always be aware about. Similarly, ChatGPT and AI, generative AI, taking up the all the news in the world. If we have not yet introduced it in the business we are running, we would still be two steps behind. So it never stops. You should, and I would say that only be an entrepreneur if you like to learn new things. Otherwise,
So thank you for sharing the importance of self-learning and also that being okay with not having all the answers, being okay with uncertainty rather than letting it freak you out. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. So as we end this, as we wrap this up, for somebody who is listening, what is the best way for them to reach out to you to find out what you are up to?
So my number is shared on my website. I could please suggest I could drop it out anywhere. So the number on my website is my number. So you could reach out to me and my email ID, which is Garkyan out there. The best way to reach out to me otherwise is LinkedIn. I'm quite active on LinkedIn. Just search for my name, Siddharth Kacharji. I largely would be the top search there. And you could reach out to me and I would be happy to connect with anyone irrespective of them wanting to do business with me or not. Because I believe that the more we give back to the community, the bigger we grow. And wherever I am today, I'm there because of the community, because there has been another set of 10, 16 people who have helped me across my journey. So it's an help which is needed. Is it a small meeting which is needed, or is it that you want to do some business with me? I would always be present. I'll try my best to be present for anyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Siddharth, for sharing what you shared and doing what you do. I will include the LinkedIn profile and your email with the show notes. So I will make sure to do that. And as we end, I would like to wish you all the best for everything that lies ahead for you and for your company in the future.
Thank you so much. I would like to thank you. You have been a wonderful host here. And I love my interview with you. And I think some upcoming startups would pick up something from here too.
Thank you. Thank you, Siddharth. It was a pleasure. That's it for this episode of Choosing Leadership with Sumit Gupta. I choose leadership every time I record this podcast, and I invite you to do the same. I invite you to design a life of joy, meaning, pride, and satisfaction, not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. If you got something out of this episode, would you share this episode on social media? And if you know somebody who would be a great guest, can you tag them on social media to let them know about the show? And if you are a leader who wants to acknowledge how far you have come and have big dreams for the future, please reach out to me to be a guest on this podcast. And I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. This is what I do most naturally, to lovingly and gently provoke you, to help you see your own light, to help you see what you are already capable of. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to deployyourself.com and subscribe to my newsletter or follow me on LinkedIn. I want to thank everyone who contributed to making this show a reality, and I want to thank you for listening. Always remember that you are enough, you are loved, and you matter. This is Sumit. Until next time, keep choosing leadership.